This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 177 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, January 14th, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by my West Coast tag team partner, Marcus Couch.
Yes.
Marcus, it's a much better and brighter week for me. How about yourself?
Not much better and brighter. I kind of experienced a death in the family happened this morning, so.
Oh, geez. Sorry, man.
That's okay. She lived a long, good life in her mid-90s, so happy that I got to see my grandmother a couple weeks ago before she passed today, and I hope that I can, you know, use her memory as kind of a catalyst and a little bit of fuel to the fire for me for the coming year.
Well, my condolences, man.
Thank you.
Death sucks.
Yeah.
Jeez, what a way to
start. How you doing, everybody?
How you doing, everybody? Okay, so we got a
back-to-back death episodes. We're not going to do that to you guys.
Yeah. So we got a pretty good show lined up today. Marcus, you and I have been talking about GoDaddy and its perception, some of the people's perception of the company, how they're trying to change things around. And I've always said, you know, we got to get some people on here to talk about the changes that have taken place and how GoDaddy's trying to turn things around. Mm-hmm. Well, luckily, we've got three gentlemen on today that's going to give us all the insight and the details on how GoDaddy is changing their image around for the better.
Yeah, it's interesting, Jeff, because I know that once GoDaddy started to get into the managed hosting thing, I actually kind of leaked that on the Tavern, and that was one of the most popular articles that I had ever written on the Tavern. So I'm sure this is going to be much the same. We're very interested in some of the things that GoDaddy is doing within the WordPress community, and we're going to find out all about it later on in the show.
All right, so let's get through the news here so we can get to these gentlemen. The first thing I want to talk about is that WordPress 4.2 will automatically enable pretty permalinks for new sites on installation. And I want to emphasize new sites on installation. So if you're currently running WordPress, nothing's going to change. This is only for new installs. It's actually a ticket that's been 7 years in the making. And it looks like by default, WordPress is going to, during the install process, run some checks. And if it can determine that it can use pretty permalinks, it will use the, looks like year, month name, day, and post name. So that's like, I think that's all of them. Mm-hmm. One of the various variables you can have in a URL. Now, I think this is a good thing. I think out of the box, if you can support it having pretty permalinks turned on, that seems to be a good thing. But I question whether or not it would be better if it was just post name, you know, the simplest, easiest sort of configuration and layout for the URLs. There's actually an in-depth discussion happening right now in the ticket of whether it should just be post name or whether it should have all of these variables, and it has to do with SEO and memorable URLs and all kinds of other things. So I'm not sure if it's going to stay that way or if it might change the post name. I'm not sure. But at the very least, it looks like starting with WordPress 4.2, all new installs of WordPress after that will have pretty permalinks turned on in some form or fashion.
I'd love to see some speed comparisons of that, because I know that I use the Prelink Pro plugin, and it will slow a site down to a crawl. The more links that you create and the more forwards and redirects and all of that, it tends to really, really slow a site down. So I hope that the guys on the development team are considering speed when they're enabling these new pretty permalinks.
And, you know, I don't know about you, but at least for me, I usually only have one or two websites at any given time running WordPress. But I think permalinks is one of those settings, like a set and forget. And there was some talk of maybe removing the, you know, if it's on by default, maybe removing the options or the UI to change them. There's oftentimes a lot of people have to, through the troubleshooting process, actually have to flush the rewrite rules, which oftentimes is sending them to the default, which is turning the printing permalinks off, turning them back on. What that does is that flushes the rewrite rules, and sometimes that fixes quite a few problems. So I don't think we're going to see the UI and options removed just because they're turned on by default. But we'll have to see what happens. So BuddyPress 2.2 Beta 1 is now available for testing. In fact, earlier today, Beta 2 was released. But this release has about 127 resolved tickets, so there's just a slew of bug fixes in here. Member types will allow developers to register different types of users, i.e. teacher versus student. There's also going to be post type activities, which will allow developers to connect custom post types to activity stream items. I think that's going to be a big one. There's also several new query APIs, continued cache enhancements, and more improvements to the overall performance of how BuddyPress works. So they're really cranking away over there on the BuddyPress project. And if you have time and you have the wherewithal, go ahead and give 2.2 Beta 2 download and try it in a test environment and see how it works. So it looks like BuddyPress is just moving along there in terms of developments.
And it's, you know, that's one of the things that we cry out for the most is improvement on BuddyPress because of the clunkiness of it, even though we all kind of know it has this really awesome functionality under the hood. And when you integrate it into a theme correctly, it's unsurpassable as far as other technologies. But BuddyPress is definitely due for a good scrubbing, and I'm happy to see that there are a number of efforts and initiatives along the way this year that will greatly, greatly enhance not only the back-end interface, but how people interact with BuddyPress from the front side as well.
So what do you think, Marcus? It looks like Triple J is putting that $50K to good use.
Looks like it. Looks like he's got a good pizza source, and he's been getting some delivery and putting nose to keyboard and rocking out. So keep it up.
That's cool to see. So news came out earlier this week of a preview of the new WordPress themes directory. So the core team is in the process of restructuring the WordPress theme directory. And if you're familiar with how to browse themes in the back end of WordPress, it should be no surprise that it looks pretty much the same. So what this allows them to do is reuse code and allows for a similar experience. There's no really big difference between browsing for themes either on .org or the back end, which I think is a good idea, a good plan. There's also a revamped way of you can actually filter themes by feature. So there's a feature filter, and you can apply filters to colors, layout, features, and subject. And subject looks a little bit like tags. You know, in the example here, they have holiday, photo, blog, and seasonal. So it would be interesting to see how they implement that and how many themes come up through various subjects. But overall, just a nice way of merging the two, creating a similar experience for browsing themes, whether you're on WordPress.org or in the back end of WordPress.
Yeah, it's really nice. It looks like they're going along with the new plugin revamp that they did in the back end. So it's going to be pretty nice to be able to really drill down and search for specific themes that you're looking for with this new design.
So there's no set timeline for when this new theme directory design will be implemented. There's still a number of tasks that have to be completed, but we'll link it up in the show notes so that you can preview it yourself and take a look at it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to taking that thing for a test drive myself. That's going to be cool.
So with all that said, it's time to bring on the GoDaddy personnel. And we'll start with Jeff King, who is the general manager of hosting and security over there at GoDaddy. And Jeff, if you're here, give us a say hi or give us a hello.
Hello, Jeff and Marcus. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Thanks for joining us. And up next, we have Mendel Kerlin, who is GoDaddy's first WordPress evangelist. And a little bit later in the show, we'll find out what that means. Mendel, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot. Really happy to be here.
And last but not least, I saved the best for last. Kurt Payne is a PHP developer, author of the P3 plugin, which is the plugin performance profiler, very popular plugin, and developer for GoDaddy's managed WordPress platform. And Kurt, thanks to you as well for coming on the program.
Thank you, Jeff.
So let's see. This is just a GoDaddy roundtable. We've been this is pretty cool. And I thought I would start off the show or the interview by reminding listeners, and I was a little bit surprised at this as well when I looked it up, but GoDaddy was founded in 1997 as Joe Max Technologies by Bob Parsons, the former CEO, and officially renamed to GoDaddy in 1999, making it an 18-year-old company. And I don't know, for me, that seems like an old company if you've been around for almost 20 years. What do you think, Marcus?
Yeah, and it's interesting because back when there were Wild West domains, I was one of the first customers of that, and that means I have 18-year-old domains out there. That's interesting.
That's awesome.
So
you're almost old enough to drink, right?
I never thought of it that way. So in June of 2014, GoDaddy filed a $100 million IPO, and on that same day, former CEO Bob Parsons resigned from his position as executive board chairman to devote more time to his ventures outside GoDaddy, although he continued to serve on the board of directors. So I think I'll just start with Jeff here. What immediate changes took place after Mr. Parsons stepped down?
Well, that's a good question. I guess so our new CEO, Blake Irving, actually has been in the seat for more than 2 years now. And Blake is just – he's an awesome guy. As a matter of fact, Blake, essentially, when he came on board, he hired myself as well as a new CTO, a new CIO, and virtually – all of the executive staff is new under Blake's leadership. The great thing about Blake is he's a product guy, right? And the company focus really changed to be very, very focused on the product experience. Blake is constantly in our demos, you know, weekly Agile Scrum demos. He's looking at the details. He's looking at the designs. He's just by nature a product guy, and that sets really the stage for the new culture of the company. And I think you're starting to see that being reflected in the products across the board.
Now, Jeff, Kerr, or Mendel, were any of you employees of GoDaddy during the Bob Parsons era?
Yeah, yes, Kurt and I were probably both. You were too, right, Kurt?
Yeah, I think I'm probably the longest employee here on the roundtable.
Okay, with that said, Kurt, what are some of the changes you've seen, immediate changes, and are they changes that you're for, that you support?
So yes, I support all the changes that Blake and company have brought in. But you have to realize that this has been a process. Mm-hmm. We've gone through, so Warren stepped up, and then Scott Wagner stepped up, and Scott Wagner was always the interim CEO, until we found Blake. So Blake got here, and so we had a few transitional years, until we got Blake here, and this is Blake's second year. And so now we're really starting to get things rolling along, and he has really brought in some new, more progressive policies. We've lessened some of the physical security around the buildings. Like in Scottsdale, you guys haven't visited. I know Jeff has, Jeff King, but there are so many the corridors there, and you had to have keys to get through all of them, and it took. You know, it took forever to get your work done because you had to go through these conference rooms and keys, and it was annoying. All the employees have laptops now. They're standardizing on process and tools, so you know, GitHub and Agile, and they're starting to standardize on a lot more things and roll that out across the company. We're getting, you know, roadmap visions from the top down, and that's being rolled out through all the teams and all the layers. Everyone has a similar structure now. It's being a lot more flat. So all of those things are very good, and we're actually starting to see an appreciable gain in productivity and a lot happier customers, a lot happier developers, engineers, a lot more productivity out of it. So all good things.
Excellent. And as Jeff was describing, with Blake coming in as a new CEO and hiring just about all new executives as part of the team, it seems like there's just this big breath of fresh air that's taken place in the company.
I think really? So. I mean, I joined after Blake arrived, and the energy level is super high. We have offices in, GoDaddy was founded in Arizona, but we've gone to where the talent pools are as well, and so we continue to have developers in Scottsdale. We've got a whole team in Silicon Valley now, and that's where I'm based. We have a huge team up in Seattle, and we have some satellite offices out in Boston near MIT, and we got a bunch of PhD guys that are working on the Loku SEO products and such. So this company has expanded and changed greatly. Like I said, it's really a product-focused company now, and you should be able to see that across the board, everything from the homepage to the checkout flows to the product performance globally around the world. A lot has changed and is still changing in GoDaddy right now.
Well, you made a good point about seeing the change on the homepage, because I was going to say, if you visit GoDaddy.com today, for anyone listening, you won't see half-naked women or NASCAR ads or anything like that. In fact, what you'll see is a nice-looking design with the focus on the products that the company offers, something that didn't exist, let's say, probably 2 years ago. So just in that vein alone, I mean, that's a huge step in the right direction as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think my favorite change there is it used to be difficult to get through the checkout process without buying something else. We called it running the gauntlet through the checkout process, and streamline that completely to sort of a modern Amazon-like checkout flow that people expect. So you don't have to unclick boxes and go through these crazy hoops anymore. So it's good all around.
So over the years, GoDaddy has sort of become a company people love to hate due to the actions of Parsons, or for a variety of other reasons, whether it's performance or the constant upselling that seems to take place. And we sort of, I think Kurt mentioned this a little bit, but what's been done at the company from the top down to try and change both customer sentiment and the negative perception people have of the company, which is very hard to change because that's something that's out of a company's control?
Well, I think it's in your company's control based on the actions that you take. I mean, certainly some of the reputation was earned previously, but I think that you earn your way out of a bad reputation by consistently doing things that are good, right? And performing very well and meeting customer expectations all the time, whether it's the checkout flow or the product quality or the support quality or any of those things. And so it's just something we're committed to for the long term. We're measuring this like crazy. For those of you familiar with NPS scores, the Net Promoter Score, we take that very seriously at GoDaddy and measure that like crazy. And we're constantly trying to move the needle on customer sentiment and all of these things, really just by doing right by the community and doing right by the products and by our customers.
Marcus, I know you've dealt with clients, and I think you may even have a couple of domains, or you do business with GoDaddy. What in your mind as a customer, what type of good changes have you seen that have been for the better, that have improved your experience working with GoDaddy?
Well, from my own personal perspective, I do appreciate the fact that they've kind of slowed down a little bit on the pitch when it comes to making, if I'm calling the support system, the last thing I need to hear the guy say on the other line is, "Hey, let me help you out with those domains that are about to expire while I'm trying to help you get things working again," So I do appreciate that. And also, I really enjoy the fact that the guys on this panel and other employees at GoDaddy, and the perception of it from even just on the website, is that the embracing of WordPress as a platform a lot stronger than just some one-click install side feature thing. It really seems like that the team has embraced the platform and favors it over any other, and is really trying to highlight some of the services that they have. And I'm kind of shocked myself at the price point that they're offering it for.
Marcus, just a quick thought on that point. Mm-hmm. We talked about GoDaddy.com, and we talked about the change in the look and feel of the homepage, but we took it a step further towards the end of last year and brought up GoDaddy.com/pro, and it actually it shows tons of awesome data just on comparing plans on the features, right, and the actual technical specs, as opposed to, you know, this site is great and you should buy it because it will help your business, right? So things that are really targeted at people that build websites for a living and need to know lots of these technical details. So so that was another step that we took to kind of bring it even closer to the actual community that we're trying to serve. So.
And I would agree with you, Marcus, that we have embraced WordPress. The story there is pretty straightforward. I was at eBay for 10 years before I joined GoDaddy, and one of the last things I did there was run a strategy and a platform for the Magento platform, which is actually a very similar PHP open source commerce app to WordPress. In many ways, it's just a little bit upmarket and a narrower custom community, but it looks and feels a lot like the WordPress community. So when I showed up at GoDaddy, guys like Kurt came in and said, "Hey, we have an opportunity to really kill it on WordPress and really get going on it." And Kurt had already created the plugin that was super popular, and it was super easy for me to say, "Yeah, let's go in big." And as soon as I started talking to people in the community, it became very evident that this thing was needed some care and feeding and could use some support. So Kurt and a few of the other guys on the team led an effort to go build our new managed WordPress product, and it has been just great. Really happy with the performance of the product, as well as really, frankly, the community sort of embracing this new thing that we built. It's very cool.
And the other thing that I found is pretty refreshing now is, you know, before they had a pretty good support system, and that's one of the things I love about GoDaddy was the fact that I was pretty much able to call them at any time. But they also, when you call them for support and you're on this managed product, I mean, they have full WordPress support, and the people on the other end of the phone actually know WordPress and know what they're talking about, which is very, very refreshing, and you don't get that a lot with other hosting companies.
Well, that's new, by the way, and mm-hmm. we actually have Media Temple to thank for that. You know, when I joined GoDaddy, I actually literally met the Media Temple team my third day at the company. I joined Monday, and Wednesday I flew down to meet Russ and the team down there. And we brought those guys on board and caused the internet to melt when that happened. But the good thing that came out of there was we basically adopted the Media Temple playbook at GoDaddy for support, right? And it used to be that more or less nothing that you managed inside your hosting account was supported, right? And you know, the host was up, you know, the container was up, you're good, right? And now we have adopted the practices of this company, Media Temple, that had just killed it on support, and brought some of their leaders over to help train our guys, and we've really implemented that playbook. And now when you call our hosting support, you're going to get right to a hosting guy, not someone who's supporting domains or something else. That, and I know that's super frustrating for professionals and people who want support on WordPress. You want to get somebody on the phone that knows what a plugin is and can help you right away, rather than going through a phone tree or whatever. So, so that's one of those things that we really benefited from by bringing the Media Temple team over to the family.
In fact, in May of last year, that's when GoDaddy removed the ability to submit a trouble ticket or an email to receive support, and I covered this story on the Tavern, and to this day, I think people were Googling how to get support from GoDaddy or something. They end up on that article, and usually they're pretty frustrated with the fact that they can no longer get support in this way, but I don't know if you know the data or the rationale behind it, but if you do, could you explain maybe why the move to just go to a call support center only?
Yeah, I can explain that, and really has almost everything to do with the quality of support. We are right now set up to do real-time support through phone calls and chat, and we do millions of customer touches a week, right? And we manage that those programs really, really, really well. Our experience through email support was horrible. Right. We just didn't have the right tools to manage the flow there, and we had lots of delays in getting support, and people would email us and say, I need help with my server, and we'd have no idea who they were because their email address didn't tie back, right? And so this is really just a tooling thing, right? And so we found, and we tested this a lot before we turned off, if you will, and I'm air quoting off, email support, to determine whether the customer experience would be better just through chat and phone, and it is. Now, I will say that we're getting close to flipping that back on for the professional segment, and Mendel mentioned it, but we released something recently called GoDaddy Pro, which is on godaddy.com/pro, and for professionals that are using GoDaddy, we're going to have a separate phone number and chat, but we'll also enable you to submit tickets and email directly to the server support team. So if you own a VPS or a dedicated server or manage WordPress, you'll be able to go through that offline experience. And just to be clear, and sorry I'm rambling, but we know very well that professionals and developers and freelancers, you know, they love to submit tickets, you know, and get things done offline and just be told when it's done. And we want to enable that, and that's coming back very soon here.
Excellent. Yeah, I figured there's probably a good reason for making those changes. And when those things are sort of turned off and chat, the online chat and phone call was pretty much the new way of getting support, have there been any substantial changes since then to at least maybe decrease the amount of time it takes before you get to a representative? Because I remember when this was initially launched, there was, you know, anywhere between 2 to 3 hour wait times for people.
Yeah, when we initially launched chat, we launched it, I think, with a couple of dozen guys. Now, chat is huge for us, and we take that experience very seriously. Like, we're constantly measuring hold times and wait times and, of course, customer satisfaction on the back end. And this is something that's a moving target. We're always trying to improve our support experience, and I think especially in hosting support, when you compare where we were 2 years ago to where we are today, it's night and day. Not only on WordPress support, but generally on hosting and our VPS and dedicated support. These guys are really good. We've staffed up the team, so minimize any wait times, and just making a lot of progress there that I'm proud of.
Excellent. So, Mendel, you are what I found out to be GoDaddy's first WordPress evangelist. And just sort of tell me, what does that mean? What do you do?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and it's cool for a couple reasons. So I am the first, and I think it's awesome that I'm the first because it shows a commitment by the company, by GoDaddy, to reach out to the community, right, in a sustained way. And so what my entire job is about is interfacing with the community, right, the WordPress community, the developer and designer and entrepreneur and startup community, anybody that builds websites for other people, to find out what struggles you go through as a developer or designer. I used to be a web designer. I used to be slinging websites out of the back of my Jeep back in Iowa, where I'm from. It was a crazy life, right? Every moment of every day, I was trying to hustle and make an awesome site, satisfy my customer and all that. And what I really wanted to rely on were awesome technology providers, right? And so now, bringing that experience into GoDaddy and thinking about the things that I wanted when I was hustling websites, and then talking with people in the community and finding out what they need now, right? What they need from a technology partner or provider. It's a really fun job, and I get to run around the world and talk with, we were at WordCamp Europe last year. We were at, 20 WordCamps last year, somewhere around that. I don't know the exact number, but it was a lot. Doubling down this year, and going to spend a lot of time just getting feedback from the community, bringing it back to our development teams, and figuring out how to solve problems for everybody listening to this podcast.
See, I think someone like you and the position that you're in at GoDaddy is important and part of the overall strategy of trying to change GoDaddy around, especially with this perception, because building trust and establishing relationships is an important part of that whole process. And I think you're part of the initiative with that GoDaddy has in terms of establishing relationships with people in the WordPress ecosystem. And that's something that's a big change, because early on in my career of writing about WordPress, you just mentioned GoDaddy, you hear size and yuck and stay away, you know, like it was a plague, like it was a virus, and there was no one you could talk to that was sort of a liaison between taking all that feedback and pushing it back to the product team or the product developers at GoDaddy. Now with people like you and Kurt and even Jeff King going to WordCamps, talking to people, getting feedback directly and taking it back, and actually we're able to see these improvements now in products, I think that's a huge gain, and it's a huge step in the right direction for GoDaddy.
Yeah, thanks. And you're right. It's a huge change, right? And it's really fun because I get the opportunity to bring feedback directly to the development team, right? So I'm having discussions about feature requests or bugs or whatever it is, and bringing it back to the team and saying, hey, let's throw this on the backlog. This seems to be super important to the community. We should take a second look at it. And what's starting to happen is, we talked about a change in culture over the past few years, and a lot of our developers and a lot of our employees all over the company are starting to talk more with their friends that are developers, that happen to work within the WordPress ecosystem, and just get all sorts of feedback and start to bring it all into one place. And it's awesome to see us taking that feedback directly and throwing it into the product and making our WordPress offering better for everybody. It's really cool.
And so do you have examples of that, Mendel? Anything that maybe the community at large has contributed that went from concept to actual implementation?
Yeah, it's a good question. So one of the things that I brought back, it's funny because sometimes I bring a feature back and somebody will say, oh, yeah, we're already working on that, right? That's going to deploy soon. And
Kurt's one step ahead of you, man. Come on. You're at WordCamp. He's watching the forums, right? So.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So Git was one of those examples, right? So, we didn't have Git support in our managed WordPress offering for a while. Got a bunch of feedback from the community. They said, hey, this is going to make our lives a lot easier if you can have Git support. And so, We have it now, right? And it's been pretty cool. I got to bang on it first when it was kind of an alpha feature. My blog is run on our managed WordPress platform, and so I got to play around with it and see that it worked firsthand. Wrote a post about it. Broke the feature on my personal website actually, and that even that was a change, right? Just this excitement for product feature and this excitement for creating cool stuff and bringing stuff back from the community and then telling them that we've created it. It's fun. So that's one example.
So as you said, you on your personal site, how much of GoDaddy do you dog food every day? I mean, do you host your site there, host your domain there? Do you everything you do is through GoDaddy, so it's like you're constantly testing their products?
I test every product that comes out, and I test a lot of products that before the release or features before the release. So it's the nerdy part of me loves it, right? Because I get to have these cool new features and try them out. My personal website's on GoDaddy. I have a few other sites. I have a plugin. It's called Pretty Pre, and it just formats your pre tags. It's in the repository, and I have a website for that that's on our managed WordPress platform. I also have one remaining customer that I just like the guy, and he has a property management company, and so I manage his site for him still. And he runs it on our platform too. So it gives me an interesting insight into how an actual customer views our platform and the things that we're doing with, you know, within the platform and things like that. So yeah, I'm eating our dog food every day.
that's good to hear. I was almost afraid that you would say, oh, I host my sites over there at, you know, what's his name hosting company. No, that probably wouldn't sound too good. But okay, so
no, because I love it, Jeff. That's the thing. Like it works, right? And that's what's awesome to me is that it just works.
So within the last year and a half, and I'm also asking Jeff this question as well. He can answer this. With the number of people you've talked to, whether it be at WordCamps, especially at WordCamps, and having that face-to-face time with people and WordPress users, and especially developers, how many of them have told you that, you know, I didn't like GoDaddy before because of this reason and that reason, but I've given it a second try, and wow, you guys are doing some great stuff. How many times has that type of interaction come up in your discussions with people in the WordPress ecosystem?
That's so funny. It happens all the time, and half the time they're looking over their shoulders to make sure that their friends aren't listening, right? If you're like, God, your stuff is really good, but I can't say it out loud, you know. And we'll get over that soon, right? Like I said, I mean, we're gonna earn our way out of this reputation just by consistently proving that we're better every day, right? And so, that's what we're all about. I mean, we've really focused on things like performance and usability. And, you know, I put a challenge up to a guy, the guy that runs reviewsignal.com. You know, he and I were having a dialogue, and I said, just put me up against any other WordPress site, and for a buck a month, I'm going to be right there, right? And he went crazy and built this whole mechanism to test this GoDaddy's hosting around the world, and we did really, really well, and a lot of people are doing that now, and it feels great to actually start seeing some people testing and actually seeing real positive results and starting to talk and even defend us. I was listening to another podcast, sorry guys, where some people were actually bouncing in and saying, hey, you got to go back and check this out, and it feels great to actually see the sentiment turning, so.
Well, that's personally for you, that's got to be a great feeling to know that the changes that have taken place and the work and effort you're putting in every day, when you actually get to hear from people face-to-face that, yeah, it's awesome. I mean, that's got to make you feel pretty good that you're on the right track.
I live for that stuff. I mean, I grew up in Silicon Valley, and I worked at Sun and Apple and eBay, and I've been a product guy most of my career, and I just love building great stuff, and there's nothing like seeing customers use it and getting something out of it. That's what makes you come into work every day, so it's great stuff.
And just out of curiosity, what is the current, what's the tote board say as far as how many people are using the WordPress managed hosting over at GoDaddy?
We're not actually announcing that number. We are the biggest. It's a lot, as Kurt just texted me, and we're adding thousands of new customers a day, a week. Growing like crazy, and it's awesome. So, and I'm gonna get in trouble for saying that because we're technically in the quiet period. But the product is performing like we want, and it's growing well. So I'll leave it at that.
You know, speaking of the managed WordPress hosting service by GoDaddy, which ironically enough was announced or released at just around this time last year, in fact, so it's been around for about a year. What makes it different from your regular hosting plans, or what sets it apart from other managed WordPress hosting plans offered by your competitors?
Well, that's two questions in one, Jeff.
Right.
Which one do you want me to tackle first? What makes it different from our other hosting or from competitors?
Yeah, do the first one. What makes it different from just regular hosting?
Okay, so from our other hosting, so first of all, we manage it a lot tighter. The accounts are set up in a way that we can predict where things are going to be on the file system, database, servers, that sort of thing. So we can actually go in and manage the accounts a lot better. So a good example of why this is important is, say there's a plugin, I'm just going to pick one randomly, MailPoet, that has a known security vulnerability out there. And that's just one of several. I'm not picking on them. I've just picked them out of the bunch that we have patched. We would go in and patch everyone's account that had MailPoet. And because we know where the accounts are, where the plugins would be, if MailPoet was present, where it would be, how to find the version, all of that. We manage the accounts. We say, hey, that customer has a vulnerable version of MailPoet. We'll update that. We manage the version of Core so we can update that when that comes out. We have a caching layer in front of it, which also acts as a WAF, so we can start putting in some throttling and security rules around that. We also have all sorts of failover and redundancy set up that isn't present on the cPanel or the legacy plans. So that means that if your server gets the Reddit hug of death, your site's going to stay up just fine. It's actually going to stay up a lot better if you're cacheable. So if you're running something that's more like a news site or a blog site, it's going to absorb it a lot better than something that's more dynamic, like a shop or a forum that uses sessions. But we'll still, you know, be able to manage that for you. We monitor things a lot more closely, and we work with customers a lot more closely because it's just WordPress, and we know it's the latest version. When you're dealing with something like normal shared hosting, you can't ask a customer to upgrade to PHP 5.4 because it might break their old version of Drupal that's installed next to it, and you're responsible for that even though you didn't ask if they had anything else installed alongside it. So this is just designed from the ground up for WordPress. Everything on, we spared no expense. Everything in here, SSD, fully redundant, failover, clustered, high availability, we really tweaked it out. So that's how it's different from our other hosting products. This, again, completely new product for us.
I think, and I love the way you describe that, because there's several web hosting companies that started off with just regular hosting plans, and then next thing you know, added a new type of service plan called managed WordPress hosting, where it was sort of fine-tuned environments specifically for the WordPress software. And I think it's not really spelled out in the details on a lot of these other, on a lot of the competitors' websites, but I've always sort of wondered, well, I wonder how managed this managed WordPress hosting is. And it sounds to me like it's really managed, like you guys almost take care of everything for people's websites. Now, I mean, do you still let the customers handle plugin updates and theme updates? You don't, guys just don't willy-nilly do that automatically. I mean, I understand that you probably just do that for big security updates, right?
Right. I mean, the plugins that we've updated are they're only for like bad security issues for
things. Well,
like,
I think an excellent example would be the huge Jetpack security issue that happened last year.
Yes. So we did work with the Jetpack team. So they pretty much took care of that because everyone on our platform was a current version of WordPress. They used the WordPress API, the update API, and got something like 98% of everyone on the platform updated within 24 hours. We went back through and audited everyone and then updated the remaining 2%, sent them a report, and just said, hey, just so you know, we found this many installs. Everyone is now on the current version. So we did work with the team on that. So
that,
yes,
that is, that's pretty cool.
So we help with that. We also are a lot more managed when it comes to things like, you know, comment spam, that sort of thing. We'll work with a customer a lot more closely and just say, you know, hey, we understand this is a WordPress site. We want to help you out with the comment spam. This is what we recommend. You know, we know how to work with WordPress, especially with the latest version. And if it manages to get through all the layers and everything that we've set up, we can go in and we can mitigate the spam first and then contact the customer. Say, hey, we installed the, you know, this CAPTCHA plugin. It doesn't appear to be affecting your site, you know, just whatever it happens to be. The point is that it is a more managed, it's a higher touch hosting product, where because everything is more predictable and it is only WordPress and it is only the most current version of WordPress and it is only the most current version of PHP. This is 5.4 actually at this point, and MySQL and all of it's very homogeneous environment. We can actually provide that level of support.
And so I have a question, Kurt, for you. I don't assume that you just have a bat phone that goes right to Matt Mullenweg, but have you seen maybe a little bit more, or maybe you could just describe it. What's the environment like as far as any specific WordPress issues you get into with core, or you need to get support, you know, from developers? What's that like being GoDaddy and getting that layer of assistance?
We have contacts in the core team, and this is the same for anyone. You can go into mm-hmm. the Slack channel and talk with that team. They're very open. Since we are a host with a lot of customers, we do get security notices so that we can prepare to have a security update ready to go, and maybe prepare some firewall rules before the patches are announced live. Other than that, no special treatment or anything like that.
Great. That was kind of the basis of my questioning, is just to kind of prove that you guys follow the same rules that everybody else, and just because you're the biggest guys on the planet to do this, you're in the community. You're trying to hound for data just like Jeff and I do every day, and that's just kind of a shining example out there of your dedication to the community itself.
Exactly.
So that's awesome. I wanted to talk to Mendo and both Kurt on this issue. And, well, first off, I want to send a congratulations to the folks over at the sidekick.pro website for finally being able to launch their product with their cool walkthrough composer tool. So congratulations to Ben Fox and company over there. But, you know, just before, in fact, before we even get into this, Kurt, I wanted to know if you can, Kurt or Mendo, if you can explain the relationship GoDaddy has with Sidekick.
This yes. is Jeff. Oh, actually, go ahead, Mendo. Sure.
Good. It's all right, Jeff. You got it, man.
You know, actually,
Jeff, it's your call.
Actually, I was the one who created the relationship with those guys, and actually, this really comes from a customer need. You know, GoDaddy, because of its the way we target customers, we onboard an enormous amount of new web users and certainly new WordPress users to WordPress, right? And a big problem we were trying to address in general was getting started with WordPress. You know, if you go into our managed WordPress product, you can buy it and be set up and be in the WP admin in like less than a couple of minutes, right? And the problem we found is that a newbie sometimes goes, okay, then what, right? And they struggle, and they stop, and they call support, and they have problems. So the first deal we did was actually with Sean, who you had on the from WP 101, you had on the show a few weeks back. And I loved his videos. He's got a great reputation, and his stuff is super high quality. And so we made an agreement with Sean to actually include the WP 101 videos with all new customers across the board, right? And we thought it was great. We wanted to continue to test and work with community members. Work with a community to figure out other ways to solve this problem. And so we made an arrangement with Sidekick after seeing a demo of that product, and actually decided to move down the path with them and actually include that with all new customers as well. So that's the agreement we had. We've obviously, I'm sure the next question is going to be, so tell me about the rollout, but I'll let you do that.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, just before Christmas, the Sidekick plugin was rolled out to several websites, causing some customers to think their site was hacked because they see this big orange button that says, help me. It's like somebody's stuck in their website. They want help. And I think that was related to the Sidekick plugin, and that sparked off a pretty lengthy and heated discussion both on the Advanced WordPress Facebook page and on the Tavern when I covered the article, or I wrote about it on the Tavern. So obviously there were some things that went afoot there. Can maybe either you, Jeff, or Mendel can describe the series of events that led up to this, and what valuable lessons did you learn for product launches in the future?
Yeah, I think the best thing out of this is we learned a great lesson. Like I said, we were going hard at solving a big customer problem, which was how do we get newbies in particular set up and going on WordPress as easy as possible. And actually, not surprisingly, and this is just a side comment, a lot of even our professional customers who are setting up their customers on Managed WordPress love the videos and love this idea of help in-app, because they spend less of their time training their customers how to use WordPress and blog and post and comment and handle comments and all of that. And so I love these features, right? The way we went about rolling it out, which was to, in an unannounced way, start deploying it to all existing customers, even though we thought it was a benefit, was obviously a mistake. Right? And in the future, before we do anything like that, we're going to be much more communicative and work on things like opt-ins and such. And I think we learned a nice lesson from the way we went about the rollout before Christmas.
Yeah, I just want to say kudos to Mendel and Jeff. I'm not sure if you were involved in the conversation, but I think the actual product manager or the project manager for the rollout of this product actually joined the group and was participating in the conversation. That's the first time I've ever seen like a project manager involved in the conversation like that. So that was neat. And I just really appreciate that you guys were right on top of it, even with Ben Fox, because you guys knew that this was an oopsie. It's better to be in there, part of the conversation, and explaining what you're doing to fix it and how it won't happen again versus sort of ignoring anything happen.
Yeah, isn't that always
true? I kind of want to say thank you to the community, right? Because they took us to task, right? And that was awesome, right? And it felt good because for a second, you know, it was like, man, like we're really getting exactly the information that we want to be getting, right? And so that's why we were glued to that form. That's why we were glued to the Advanced WordPress group on Facebook, is because like that was what. That's the stuff that we're looking for on a daily basis, right? We want to know what the community is saying. So I say if there's any other feeling out there, if somebody uses our products and they say, hey, you know, we really want to change this, or we want to, we want you to do this differently, or this is great, right? Whatever it is, send the feedback directly to me. And I don't know if, you know, in the show notes we can throw an email in there or something, but... This isn't the end of the feedback we want to hear. So,
and unfortunately, some of the comments from people said, "Well, here's another example of GoDaddy being sneaky and installing plugins and activating them on my site without me knowing, which is totally not cool and not supposed to happen." But really, this was just, you know, if you look at it, this was just a snafu. It was the wrong way to implement a product, and it's not like you guys, you know, the Managed WordPress hosting platform is installing plugins all the time and activating them without people knowing. This just happened to be a mishap.
Yeah, it was just, like Jeff mentioned, it was, you know, the wrong way to go about the rollout, and we learned a lot. So again, props to everybody that weighed in. That was awesome, and I think it also brought up some really interesting community-wide questions, you know, about how to handle these things and how people want these things to be handled. I found that discussion pretty interesting as well. So, and thanks to you for covering it as well. Really, really cool to see everybody weighing in and everybody giving their feedback on it. So,
well, that's my job. That's what I do. And Jeff, when you guys implemented the WP 101 videos, was there data that supported the fact that the support load for basic WordPress questions significantly decreased
You know, the platform has been growing so fast, it's really hard to untangle that. We know that people are using the videos, and we think training people on how to use WordPress is a great thing, right? So, and so we've got, I think we've got a lot of work to do to measure the real impact of both what Sidekick will do and the WP 101 videos, but I'm happy with the partnership so far.
And maybe Kurt can answer this question, but there's a lot of talk and conversation in the WordPress community about there's a lot of web hosts out there, and well, actually a lot of WordPress sites running on very old versions of PHP. What is GoDaddy, maybe company-wide, or at least specifically with the managed WordPress hosting setup, doing to address that particular issue of versions of PHP used to host WordPress sites?
Well, right now we're using PHP 5.4, and we have two stories on our backlog. One is to get to PHP 5.4 with the latest patches, and one is to go to PHP 5.5. So I know that there's some other hosts out there that are using, like, HHVM. That's not something that we're going to jump to at this point because of, and this again goes back to what we were talking about with the number of customers, the type of customers, the type of code that they run. HHVM is just not ready for that yet. There are certain limitations that we're just not ready to introduce into the environment. At this point. So PHP 5.4 and 5.5 are the two considerations, and we're looking at the best way to roll that out, communicate that to the customer, give them a choice. It looks like PHP 5.5 is going to be, you know, pretty safe. It's going to be a two-step process. So that is on the backlog, and we're pretty happy with where we're at. We do think it is important for the WordPress community to move forward, to get off of the current, you know, 5.2 minimum version, and to keep marching forward, to keep developers, you know, pushing the envelope and at least get them current. So that's something that we want to keep going with.
Excellent. I think a lot of people out there would be happy to hear that. Just got two more quick questions here. They're listener questions. The first is, I'll probably direct this towards Mendel. And all three of you could answer this, what advice do you have for those looking for a good web host? Wait, that's like a softball.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. It gets asked at every single WordCamp. You know, it's like how do you choose the best web host? How do you, how do you make good choices? And my honest answer, and boy, I hope Jeff doesn't hate me for this. It's to choose the host that fits your needs the best, right? and the fact is, if you're running some insane site that's just like exploding all over the place, you got to pick the right plan for that. And if it's your first site, right, and you're just trying something out or blogging for the first time or something, you've got to pick the right thing for that. Now, we have a huge spectrum of products within our portfolio, right? So we have everything from managed WordPress, shared hosting, VPS, dedicated servers, all that stuff. As far as that goes, you got to do a little bit of research, but normally I say start simple, right? So typically it's small business owners that need to get started, or it's personal bloggers and things like that. So start simple, grab a, $1 a month is pretty simple, right? And let somebody manage it all for you, and then go from there, grow with it. And we're trying to,
Yeah, one of the ways I think GoDaddy in particular differentiates ourselves is through the support channel. We literally have people 24/7 on the phones, and I have called people at 3 in the morning, the GoDaddy phone number at 3 in the morning to to talk to them about my blog and my sister's blog and things like that. And we are just on all the time. And there's a lot of companies that just don't provide that kind of support. You put in a ticket and they work it Monday through Friday Pacific time, you know, 8 to 5 or whatever. And that might work for some people, you know, more technical, but other people want that hands-on and always available support no matter what.
And as a developer, I can't tell you how much that means to me, because when it's 3 a.m. and I'm literally working on something and perhaps break it or find that something's broken, I want to make sure that that gets done before that client wakes up and looks at their website. So I do appreciate that late night service, so to speak.
You know, it's funny. I hear that all the time, especially from professionals who are managing clients. Their reputation with their clients is on the line, right? And they need somebody that can back them up, right? I've heard this from the day I started at GoDaddy. It's actually a big reason we launched GoDaddy Pro, which we can talk about later. But that's a very common thread I hear from professionals.
Yeah, I just wanted to, last year when this issue with changing the support structure for GoDaddy, I actually went through the experience. I had a domain that was coming up for renewal, so I said, well, I'll go through the live chat, and then I'll also call them. I'll see which one I could do first. Ended up getting through pretty quickly on a afternoon of a weekday during what I think was a little bit of a low time. Meanwhile, the live chat was still going. I was still waiting for a representative. Now, granted, this is just when it launched, so there's probably that's what the reason for the length. But this is the first time I actually called like a web hosting company for support. And nobody should take this the wrong way, but the person on the other line spoke English. I could understand them, and they were very polite. It was a gentleman. And I said, yeah, you know, I've just wanted to renew my domain, wanted to know if you could do that for me. He says, yes, I sure can. Just give me the word. And I said, well, no, that's okay. I could do it on my own. I just wanted to know if you could do it. And I was doing it for two reasons. A, just to see the experience, and B, to see if you would upsell me on anything, because I've heard stories that when you're on support, GoDaddy likes to take advantage of the opportunity to upsell you on a different product. But in my instance, no upselling occurred, and I actually had a very good experience with that phone call. So that was excellent. I think if I ever run into an issue again with the domain or GoDaddy, I'll just give them a phone call, because I was pretty impressed. I was not expecting it to be that good of an experience, and yet it was.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, we take that very seriously, and all of our support reps are in either Iowa or in Phoenix in the U.S. We have a call center in India that supports Indian customers, and we have a call center in Europe that supports the European customers, but it's all local, and as a matter of fact, the hosting team literally sits in the same building on the same floor with the hosting support team, and it's great. I was there today, and the energy and the flow between the support reps and the developers and the ops guys, they're all right there we call it the Hosting Excellence Center, but they're all right there in the same area, and it's fantastic energy. Love it.
Yeah, that's something also that I've found to be really fantastic about the support experience. Even when the primary person that I'm speaking to on the phone may not have the direct solution, I know that when I'm on hold, they're actually asking somebody who knows what they're talking about. And I've had nothing but positive results come back from when they pop back, you know, off hold, and generally have a really, you know, succinct, clear technical answer as to what's going on, and I appreciate that.
Glad it's working. That's good.
I just want to pipe in here real quick. As someone who sits with the customer support reps, I can tell you that basically GoDaddy has turned us all into customer advocates. That's been something that has been ingrained since Bob was here, but it has continued on, and since Blake is so very customer-focused. Everyone is a customer advocate. We all work. We all know who our bosses are, and that's the customer.
Well, that's an excellent way to run a business. I mean, don't just have a certain group of people deal with customers all the time. Everybody should be dealing with the customer, so everybody knows directly how people are interacting, using, and finding the pain points of your products. So with that said, One last question here, and then we'll talk a little bit about GoDaddy Pro a little bit more. But I wanted Jeff to answer this because I think it's a great question. Google is getting into the domain registrar plus site builder space with Google Domains. Right now it's U.S. only. They offer a price from lowest price, $12 a year. That goes up depending on the different top-level domains that you want to use. And it looks like they've partnered with site builders such as Squarespace, Weebly, Wix, and a couple of others. Of course, they have Blogger. I think this is, I mean, it's Google and Google Domains, and that's a pretty big entry into the market. And just wanted to hear your thoughts, Jeff, on what you think about their product and having them in this space now.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I'm in Silicon Valley. We literally are across the street from Google in the GoDaddy offices in Menlo Park, Sunnyvale, and you know, we take competitors very seriously. We have a huge amount of experience in the domain space, and we think we do it incredibly well. One of the things we've invested in hugely is our search experience and just the purchase experience for domains on GoDaddy, and I'm just confident that that we'll continue to hold a lead here. The domain space is already incredibly competitive. There are dozens of places you can buy a domain name, and GoDaddy does great. You know, I've been in the Valley long enough to know that Google also is very, I don't know, they have ADD about products sometimes, right? So look at some of my favorite stuff like Google Reader, like where did that go, right? And so we'll see.
No,
if
Wave,
they remain.
Wave was totally better, Jeff.
Oh,
Wave
yeah, Wave.
Was totally better.
Yeah, exactly.
FeedBurner is probably going to get the same fate.
Exactly. So anyway, we'll see. I mean, we obviously take competitors very seriously, especially one like Google, but like I said, it's a competitive space, and we like our experience, and we're going to continue to invest hugely as this is our core product, right? So I don't think you'll be able to get a better experience from anybody.
Now, you used to be able to just get a .com, .org, .net, some of the most basic ones. Now you can get .bike, .builders, .camp. Are we getting a little overboard here with the top-level domains?
Yeah, I have jeffking.bike actually, and I'm a mountain biker myself. But
oh, there you go.
But you know, I think people, they want a name that they feel connected to, right? Mm-hmm. And the .com space is you know, it's saturated, right? And so if I can get jeffking.bike and I have no hope of getting jeffking.com, and I run a bike shop, heck yeah, I'm going to do that, right? And so I think it's, you know, it's opening up a lot of new experiences and things that people will get their heads around. You know, we're going to look back at the day someday and look at the world when it was only .com and .edu, as a quaint history, I think, at some point.
I still like my domain because it rhymes, jeffc.me, because that's
cool.
Me.
That's cool.
I always get weird looks when people ask me for my email address, like at AT&T, a doctor's office or something, and I give them my email address. They're like, what's a dot me? You know, I've never heard of that. But that's been around for a while. I just noticed that there's a dot guru. So I'm thinking plug-in dot guru. What do you think, Marcus?
Well,
taken.
I have jeffking.ninja too, so you might want to try the plug-in.ninja as well. So.
Oh, there you go. That sounds good.
I've got mendel.ninja as well.
You got to have .ninja. That's just too cool.
Yeah. Awesome. So before we wrap it up here, why don't you give us a bit of a plug again for GoDaddy Pro, because this is something brand new to me. And also, maybe you can give us some tidbits on things you're working on for the managed WordPress hosting product you have.
Cool. Well, there's a lot coming. We are, like I said, investing hugely in the product experience and talking to the professionals, and we have more than a million developers, designers, freelancers, agencies on the platform. We decided to really take a break and actually focus specifically on these customers as a segment, and we created something called GoDaddy Pro. It's on godaddy.com/pro, and right now you can sign up for an invite to the beta, which is coming very soon. And if you're a freelancer and you have WordPress or other sites, this is going to be something you're very interested in. We're going to enable you to manage your clients right from there. You'll be able to get do things like delegation, so you'll be able to get access, secure access to your clients' websites, and manage their sites and hand them over to them very seamlessly. You'll be able to even buy something on behalf of your clients and put in your cart, and we'll even support things like monitoring behind the scenes, so you'll know first if your site, if your client's site's having a problem. It was built, again, from the ground up for developers and designers and freelancers, companies who have customers, right? And we think it's going to be awesome. It supports WordPress and all of our hosting products and domains and all these other things as well. So it's going to be very, very fun things coming very soon. So sign up for the beta on godaddy.com/pro, and we'll get you set up.
And just real quick, when you say that you can manage your clients' things, is it just domains, or can you actually manage their sites that they're hosting on GoDaddy?
Dude, you're going to be able to do everything. It's going to be awesome.
You
can buy a domain for them. You can upgrade their domain. You can extend their domain. You can build their whole website and turn it over to them when they're ready. You can even it's going to be great. So, and it supports the domains product. It's going to support our WordPress products, all of our hosting products, down the line our productivity, you know, office and bookkeeping and all those things as well, our commerce platform. So it's going to be very, very effective and something that we think is going to save a freelancer a ton of time in managing their clients. And you all know it. You have spreadsheets with passwords of your clients' websites on one host or another, right? Those days are going to be gone when this is live. So I think it'll be very, very cool.
Very nice. So that's the end of the me having to get the client's PIN number and all that when I call in to make a change, right?
Yeah. You will be able to delegate access, request access, provide access to your customers, and they can request it for you. And we've built a very cool flow that is intended to really just save time for a freelancer so they can get back to what they love doing, which is probably building WordPress sites. And so they don't have to handle all those other painful administrative things. We're going to take care of all of that.
And that's a great thing also for the business owner out there, because oftentimes I'll get clients that don't even know that someone else owns their domain on their behalf. You know, I got a designer that worked for them, you know, 6 years ago or whatever.
Gosh, you've heard those stories so many times. It's like, so we hear them all the time from a customer. It's like, some guy built my website. He has all the credentials. I just need it back, right? And please help me get my access to my own stuff, right? And some guy who built their website and then disappeared isn't no longer available. So the way this is going to work is the client's actually going to own the site. You know, you'll just provide the freelancer a delegate access to it for however long you want access to it. You can turn it on or off at any time, and then you control and own that site as the business owner. And we've tested this flow with dozens and dozens of both freelancers as well as small businesses, and we think it's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah, you want to talk about difference between a company like Google and what you've just described. You can't even get a Google Places entry changed if somebody else makes that for you. You have to delete it and start all over again.
So,
there's the difference between those two big companies as far as how they interact with the community and giving us features that we need.
Yeah, we're totally focused on this customer segment, right? So, I think that's one of the things that's going to differentiate us from the customer experience beyond just the ability to buy and purchase one domain name. So,
and really quickly, any sort of new features that are on the horizon for the managed WordPress service GoDaddy has?
We're going to continue to make it a lot more performant and scalable and start working with the pro features that Jeff was just talking about. Make sure that integration is smooth and tight.
Excellent. So, gentlemen, I want to thank you each for coming on the show and give us some insight into the sort of new era of GoDaddy, the better one, in my opinion. I really like the changes I'm seeing. I like the new products you guys are coming out with, and having people like Mendel that are easily accessible to say, hey, you know, I experienced an error. I think you could do this to improve this product, and he could just, you know, it's like a direct pipeline to the people behind the scenes or with the product. I mean, that's just that's a great relationship. I love the relationship building initiatives that you have going in the company. So just I think you guys are on the right track. And the next time I hear somebody just outright dish GoDaddy, I'll say, hey, whoa, wait a minute. Things have changed in the past couple 2 years. Maybe you might want to give them a second look.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, Marcus. Jeff, thanks a lot for having us on. It's been fun.
So we'll start off with Jeff King. Jeff, how can we keep tabs on you? Because I know you're all individuals and you all have your own Twitter accounts and everything else. Maybe I want to stalk you.
Please do. Please do. I'm on Twitter at KingJeff2. And if you guys want to email me, I'm opening myself up to the spam cannon, jking@godaddy.com. Yeah.
And Kurt, you next?
I'm on Twitter at K_Payne, P-A-Y-N-E. And I can be emailed at jking@godaddy.com.
Hey. nice, Kurt.
You can email me at kpayne@godaddy.com.
Excellent. And Mendo, you're last.
Yeah. At If You Will It on Twitter. And you can email me at mendel@godaddy.com. I encourage you to email me all of your exciting cat pictures and spammy things too. So I dig that.
Oh boy, you just asked for it.
You asked for it, you're gonna get it. Again, thank you all for coming on the show. Hope to see some of you out at Pressnomics next week, the conference dedicated to all things business and WordPress. It's practically in your it's in Phoenix, so it's practically in the backyard of GoDaddy's headquarters there in Arizona. So hope to see some of you there.
All three of us, I think, will be there. So look us up. I'll be around.
Excellent. So that's at least three free beers.
You got it, man.
I will buy anyone at Pressnomics a beer. Please look me up.
Oh my goodness!
I've got it.
Anyone hears this?
I'm gonna bring the corporate card, so I'll be good.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, guys, for being here, and have a good rest of the night.
You too. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Take care.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, so that's that was a pretty good interview. I really enjoyed that. Been looking forward to that for a long time. And Marcus, anything you've heard during that show that maybe you might at least try out the beta for GoDaddy Pro, or anything you heard there that really encourages you in terms of GoDaddy's future and your possible use of it?
Yeah, well, I've been a big fan of GoDaddy for a long time, and I couldn't be happier with the gang that we've had on here. My interaction with them at WordCamp San Francisco this past year was outstanding. I really enjoyed, you know, their presence on the floor and listening to, kind of sneaking in on some of the conversations that were happening there about what the pain points were, and going back and forth and seeing if those old kind of legends still weaved their way up into the surface. But it seems like the dedication and, you know, they have kind of a relentless drive of moving forward with WordPress and the latest revisions. It's not like some host that's asleep at the wheel. You know, as you heard Mendel say and the rest, that they're in the advanced WordPress group in Facebook. They're participating in the conversations just as fast as they come up. So that's a huge, huge advance in WordPress as a community, because now we have the corporate, the biggest corporate host and domain registrar out there, and that only exponentially will accelerate the growth of WordPress as a platform and as a community when you've got such great buy-in from a gigantic entity like GoDaddy.
Yeah, well said. I mean, if there's one thing I like about a company, I'm not so much of a corporate shill, but I do like a company who genuinely participates in the community and talks to its users, talks to its customers, and says, hey, tell me, give it to me straight. What do you think of this product? Are you happy? Any pain points you've experienced, let me know. That's something I can really get behind, instead of, you know, a large company that just ignores their users and you're just going to keep straight on this path, and who knows, usually that path is usually a brick wall. But
yeah, usually, you know, I've seen other hosting companies where the guys just kind of jet in, you know, wear the sunglasses and think they're king everything with their egos as they waltz in, you know. And this group isn't that at all. They listen. They're, you know, like like you heard, you know, there's beers going to be happening there, Pressnomics, there's going to be all kinds of stuff. So they are the community with us, and it's great to know that we've got somebody on the inside.
All right, so let's end this show by giving us your plug-in picks of the week.
I've got some good ones here that I've been holding on to for a couple weeks. First one is WP Email Logs plugin. This is a really nice one if you happen to have one of those sites where it's supposed to be sending you notifications or supposed to be sending things out to, you know, perhaps viewers of the site when they forward something, send to a friend, something like that. There are times where I've done that, and it's just like sending email out to a black hole. You don't know if anybody got it or not. So this email logs plugin actually lets you see the list of all of the email logs, which is very, very handy. And it's one of the plugins that I've installed on a number of different client sites that I work on. Next one is called Internal Notes, and this saves me from putting Notepad on the side of every WordPress dashboard that I have. It allows me to just put any kind of notes. Hey, make sure you get a picture of this, or, you know, make sure that before this post goes out, the link is right, or something like that. It's just a little tiny scratch pad within each post editor that allows you to leave yourself a note. And finally, Facebook feed. I'm sorry, did you have a question about internal notes?
No, I just said that's pretty nice. I mean, it must be like a Metabox or something. It just saves the text in the field.
Yeah, it's just a text area.
Like a back-end text widget.
Right, right. Finally, Facebook feed. I am one that is trying to get away from Facebook, but unfortunately I have clients that love it. So I've got to deal with this. It is Facebook feed. It allows you to easily display a customizable feed from your Facebook page. So this really helps out businesses and some of the other people that have events. So you can display this kind of through all post types. You can use it as a short code, and it works really well. It's one of the most intuitive Facebook posts that I've seen. I talked about it on one of my other podcasts and had about 3 or 4 people say, boy, you just saved me a ton of work. This is something I've been trying to do for years. So it's called Facebook Feed. Check it out in the repository.
Excellent. So that's going to wrap it up for another edition of WordPress Weekly. We won't be having a show next Wednesday. I will be en route and drinking at least 3 free beers at Pressnomics next week, which is the business devoted to all things business and WordPress. So I'm looking forward to just, you know, being shoulder to shoulder with some of the people, the movers and shakers of the business ecosystem in WordPress. And of course, it'll be in Phoenix, so it'll be a nice relief from this. Geez, yesterday it was like -6 degrees, so it'll be nice. Nice and hot out there, and 60 degrees is hot to me right now. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, the week after that, we'll come back. I'll give everybody an update and tell you how Pressnomics went, and we'll rock and roll from there. So you can catch show notes of this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JeffRZero, and Marcus.
You can find me at my website, marcuscouch.com, which is on a GoDaddy managed hosting account for $1 a month, so you can go there and test out the speed if you don't think it's that good, which it is. It's awesome. And you can follow me on Twitter at Marcus Couch.
Awesome. So we'll talk to you again in about 2 weeks. Until then, stay safe, everyone.